Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, one person has a series of paranormal experiences and fears other will believe that they are crazy.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in realghoststoriesonline.com. We'd love to hear your ghost stories. And if you are enjoying the show, you can get access to all of our bonus episodes. We put brand new ones out every week, packed with some of our best ghost stories that we get in. You also get access to our advanced episodes of the show, our archive, which is quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. All of it's ad-free, no commercials in there, so you can binge away for hours, days, weeks, possibly years on end on the show. In fact, I was doing I don't have an exact estimate on this, but we're probably around 2,000-ish episodes. So we'll roughly say that's... So if you do that, you divide... I'm doing math here, Carol, and I'm really good at it.
Carry the one.
Okay, into... So you could listen to the show theoretically for about 83 days. And
24 hours a day?
24-7.
Or did you write in some time for sleeping?
24-7. You need about 83 days to hit everything. So,
and now you just threw down a challenge.
There you go. It's the really listen to ghost stories challenge. And then you need a lot of help after that. But anyway, if you wanted access to that, patreon.com/real ghost stories or our website, ghostpodcast.com, and check that out and help keep us on the air. So what's going on in your world?
Hey, not much, Tony.
Hey,
I was thinking though, when you read that intro, about how, you know, something like a ghost story, something paranormal happens, and then people are going to think you're crazy. I think everybody listening has got some experience with that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, that was weird as shit. But if I tell anyone, who's going to believe me? So you can only tell those certain people.
Mm-hmm.
I so get that. It's like, just that weird stuff happens. And it's like, who's going to believe me?
Exactly. I don't know. Well, luckily you don't have judgment here, so that's good, and we can hear your story, and we're not going to think you're crazy.
Well, too crazy anyway.
I mean, just kind of
maybe depends. A wee bit.
Just depends. Depends how many you know.
No, seriously, who am I to judge? I've had as crazy stories as anybody's had.
I was watching. Have you seen the Sasquatch documentary on Hulu?
No.
It's pretty interesting. It's about, and I'm not. I'm really not into Bigfoots. I'm sorry. I'm filling out a DocuSign as I talk. It's about this murder case in California back in, I think, like 83 or something, or 93, where a guy who was working in the cannabis industry was in a shed late at night. Some people came in and he heard them like swearing and freaking out and saying that the three people were mangled by a Bigfoot. And all these years later, this guy has gone on and he's a journalist and all that. And he's curious about what was that? And he's trying to trace back to that time and if there was a murder or something or missing people on these properties back then. And he digs and digs and digs and trying to figure out, you know, was it a Bigfoot sighting? Was it one of those things? But no, it all kind of goes end up back to a murder. And I think they know who it is, but they never reveal it on the documentary, which kind of sucks. But I suppose you can't publicly call someone a murderer.
Wait, so you invest that whole thing thinking maybe it's Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Then they tell you it's not.
Nah, about midway through, you kind of realize it's probably not a Bigfoot.
But then they don't tell you who it is?
No,
and you think they know?
I think they know at the end where they, who they really suspect it is, because there's like one twist where it seems like, oh my gosh, they might actually have figured that person out because their nickname is Bigfoot. But he has an alibi and he can prove it. No, it's not him at all. But he, I think, leads them in the direction of someone that actually is. But again, person's not convicted. There's no, you know, you can't make a documentary and say, we think this person is the killer.
Well, I guess that's true.
So that's that. But it was interesting. Not a commercial for it or anything like that, but that's on Hulu right now. And I thought I was watching a Bigfoot documentary.
Little did you know.
Little did I know that that's what it was. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first letter of the day. As soon as I scroll to the beginning of it. Here we go. I know ghost stories, paranormal, or talking about ghosts could make anyone seem crazy, but not everything is as it seems and sometimes cannot be explained in the normal sense. Let me know what you think of this story. It's based on true events. Halloween, October 2019, Wheeling, USA. I've always had a feeling that the paranormal field is real or just odd occurrences happening that cannot be explained by the natural sense or order of things. I've been feeling off for the past few days, now from lack of sleep and working a labor job. Luckily, the weather and humidity have been cooling off and have made it able to stand being outside for a decent amount of time. Today was one of those days. I was not sure if I should go to work. It was rainy. I work outside all the time, and I was sure that the bosses would have told me to go home anyway. But I stayed for maybe a couple of hours before they told me to go home. Near my work office is a last moments nursing home type of place. I believe, except it's only for those who maybe have the last couple of weeks left to live. And there's also a convent that helps out there. If you're into the paranormal or believe in the afterlife, there may be a link somehow. Plus, with the last moment center, it's hard to tell how many have passed away and how many spirits still linger around. Side story, from what I've been told, may not be 100% true, but there are news articles linking this about the nun. Around the 1970s or 1980s, there was a young adult nun at the convent that was contemplating being a nun. She was talking amongst her peers, for which they told her to go back and walk outside and sit on one of the benches and give it a good contemplation about it and come back later and talk about if she wishes to stay or leave the convent or go back to regular life. Turns out she never returned because she had been murdered that day. Some say her soul or spirit still lingers around. So it's Halloween. Get up around 3:30 a.m. Got ready for work and left. Usually takes around 30 minutes to get to work from where I live. Seems unusual because of the number of police officers out, and it's about a full moon. From what I've been told, when a full moon is out, it tends to bring the crazies out more than usual, or just odd occurrences happen more. I turned on the last main road that goes to my office, probably around 4:30 a.m. I was taking it slow because of the bumps, and my car at the time was kind of becoming super shaky and did not take bumps and potholes well. Around one of the bends, I noticed a figure in a patient with a white, older-looking hospital gown that was white that came down to the knees. It had long, thick, black, shimmery, and wire-like hair. The face, arms, and legs seemed like they had a dark, transparent look to them. You could barely see the eyes and mouth. I noticed it smiled. It almost looked like the girl from the Ring movie. Which is why I named this ghost the Ringer Ghost, because of the similarities between this ghost and the evil girl in the movie. I had a feeling like I should ask to see if they needed a ride back up the hill. I had the feeling like I should have stopped, but when I slowed down enough to see exactly right, I got a mole vent feeling. And I sped up to get out of there, to get to my office. Kind of smiled at me for an odd reason. I just knew from then on to get out of the area quickly. I was standing in the other lane, or it was standing in the other lane that I was driving on. The road was very steep on a hillside, while the other side had a creek going on the other with some guardrails and sections. By the time I got to the office and inside, I asked the guys I worked with about it, and they said they had no idea what I was talking about. Time passed and I felt a little shook. I had an uneasy feeling for the rest of the day and the next day. I felt a distraught feeling when I drove by it. I've not seen the figure since, although I had a feeling it was watching me. I have a feeling it may show again. A few days later, not heard or seen anything within any time and felt mostly normal with a little bit of uneasy feeling like someone was around but could not spot them. I did look up a few times. My job of the day had me looking down most of the time, fixing things and driving around. Then one time I looked up and I saw the figure in the tree line and disappeared. I literally stopped and stared until it disappeared. It was along the property line of work and the neighbors mentioned before, which I felt uneasy again and then ignored the spirit. Time passed of ignoring it and stopped bugging me. Winter 29 in January 2020. It's winter time now, working a different section of work. We usually do different things in the winter. One of the guys I've not talked to in a while, I decided to talk for a little bit. He asked about the property line and if I felt weird around that section or the energy was different from the other sections. Of course, I said yes. We talked about the paranormal and what the businesses the neighbors did. I did not fully know because I never went up to check it out or visited other than the rumors, hearing someone talk about it. So what do you think they encountered there that night?
I don't know, obviously, because I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you saw something that looked very strange and it gave you that kind of feeling, I think you always got to go with your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it made you feel like that, something was off about it.
Yeah.
And especially with the history of the area, and it just makes me think that what they saw really was probably paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
I think it's odd. I mean, because the way it was described almost, am I missing something? But it kind of sounded like it was a patient or some sort that had a gown on and looked very old and and, you know, not in good health.
Then described like that girl from The Ring, like just that alone would make me go, oh, they need help. But I don't think I need to help her.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I could have. But I also get that feeling because I am the person who would pull over to help because I'm like, oh my gosh, you need a ride. Let me help you.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get that feeling, you got to go with that. So I'm glad they didn't offer him a ride.
Yeah, that was, just a very, I don't think I'd be able to stop. You know, I'd like to be courteous and kind, but I think if that's what you're seeing out your window, you just kind of got to know there's something wrong here. And go with your gut and call the authorities, do something like that. If you feel there's someone actually in danger, but sometimes it's the risk is, you know, you don't know what you're about to walk into. So,
well, and you don't. Yeah. And sometimes you think, you know, well, I can pull over and help. And sometimes, even though it wouldn't be like you're giving the girl from The Ring a ride,
mm-hmm.
but it could be something less obvious than that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just, you got to call the cops. They've got to deal with it.
It's something that bizarre. Yeah. I mean, because again, I mean, I'd almost like be wondering, like, is this like a setup or something, you know, that,
mm-hmm.
and there's somebody that's going to jump me as I get out here to help and,
yeah. Or did I just drive past a movie shoot? Yeah. What's going on?
It'd be a tough one.
I just think there's something more to that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is creepy. Thanks for sharing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And by the way, we have merch now. And you can check it out on the website.
I did check it out, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. You've got so many different things.
Finally put it together. So
that's fantastic.
It's stuff with our logo on right now, and we'll get more creative stuff out there in the future. But pretty much anything you need, from a mask to a water bottle to a phone case to a hoodie, a tee, you know, running pants, it's all there. Even stickers, too. But check it out. And some of those proceeds do go back to the show. So all the little bit helps. You can go to ghostpodcaststore.com and go there, or just go right to our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And there's a link up at the top for the store. So check that out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi, let's hear your story.
I was walking to my sink, and this picture flew at me, and broke into a lot of pieces. There was more glass that I had swept up than there was in that picture frame, and there was nothing else that broke. And also we had heard furniture moving upstairs. There was no one that lived upstairs. I heard a woman crying in the middle of the night, and I heard her crystal clear in my kitchen. And the lady next door, I told her what happened, and she said she heard the same thing, but she could hear it crystal clear in her kitchen. When I couldn't hear, it was muffled, so I could not hear what was going on in next door, and, you know, real clearly. And I lost my son. My son passed away. And I realized one night when I was crying, because the cry that I heard that night was really, really sad. And I'm watching your show on YouTube right now and talking about knowing ahead. And it seems like I didn't realize that that crying of that woman was actually me crying at the loss of my son. It was really a sad cry that I had heard. Also, I've had dreams that have come true. I dreamt I moved into this house, and it was in this big old house, and someone broke in and shot somebody and killed them in the other room. Then they shot me in the collarbone, and I looked towards the window, and all I could see was tree trunks. So I grabbed the phone, and the kitchen was a baby blue color in my dream, and it was in real life. It was a baby blue color, and I grabbed the phone, and I jumped out the window in my dream and couldn't get help. I called the 911, and I think back then it was zero, because I am 64 years old and have numerous stories I could tell you. And also Native American, and we are have a lot of stories on our reservation ghost stories also. But I looked up at the house, and it was a white house. There were pine trees all around, and it just so happened that one night I was sitting there with this girl, my friend, and I was pregnant with my oldest son and drinking some tea, and she said that out of the corner of her eyes, she could see somebody sitting on this long bench, and there was a potbelly stove there, but I couldn't see them, what she could see, and then it hit me that I had dreamt about that house before I moved in there. I dreamt about it in my dream, like I told you. I had got shot, jumped out the window, and it just brought chills to me, and to realize that I had dreamt about this house, and the phone was in the exact same spot that it was in my dream. And I do believe that people that have NDEs have that sixth sense, because I know when my son got he was murdered, and when I heard the gunshots, I knew that he was gone. I knew that he wasn't going to be here anymore when I heard the gunshots, and it was very traumatic for me. And I dreamt about him last night. He has come to me several times, and after my when I first lost him the first year, I saw him. It seemed like I woke up and I left my body, and my eyes, my soul or my eyes went around the corner, went out the bedroom, out around the corner, and he was sitting on the couch, and he was dressed in new clothes, and he looked he was waiting to go somewhere, and he was watching TV. And then I just like woke up, because I knew that he was gone. I started crying, because I knew that he wasn't no longer on this earth. And I've had miracles happen. I was about to become homeless. I got displaced, and I got my home. I applied for an apartment, and I got it on the, on his birthday on the way out to the cemetery. I was going to go place some flowers out there, and I do a little ritual being Native American and sing and pray to the four directions. And I've been to the cemetery at night, and so peaceful. It's just so peaceful, and it just doesn't seem like people are so scared of cemeteries, but I'm not. And so I just wanted to tell you these stories.
And that's where it ends.
No. It was just like, I was so emotional with her.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for it to end like that.
She started out really like almost in the middle, and then she ended kind of almost in the middle, it almost felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. She had a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and then with her being Native American on top of that, mm-hmm. you know, I think that she's probably even more connected to a lot of things.
Sure.
But oh my God, when she was talking about her son and the gunshot, that made me emotional.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. You know, and something like that would be so hard to even go on from.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was talking about crying and the really, really sad crying was actually her.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't quite get that. Was that like a, she wasn't crying, but it was kind of another
what
part
I would,
of her maybe?
I don't know if I was taking it right, but I don't know if it was, she was referring to it almost being like a residual thing. Like she was hearing
yeah.
herself like. And I think that that can happen with our own energy and almost like...
Well, especially with that depth of grief
yeah.
that you would have.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I could actually see that just taking over,
yeah.
you know, and it would be so... That loss would be so profound and just so deep.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, absolutely, I would expect her to see her son mm-hmm. in dreams. You know, and I hope when she does that, maybe it gives her some peace.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how you find peace after that.
I wouldn't
Especially
even
hearing the gunshot.
Begin to guess how you could move on from that.
Seriously, like I just want to reach out there and find her and hug her. Like that was just a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things too that kind of some things you hear like that kind of puts your own life in perspective. Like you think you might be having a bad day and it's like, listen to what that woman went through. Mm-hmm. That's just a lot.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802, our number. Hi, what's yours?
Hi, so thank you for doing this. I just happened to fall onto your podcast and I'm thought it was pretty cool, very intrigued, so I thought I'd share one of my many stories. So, ever since I was a little girl, I was always told I was a quote-unquote sensitive. I used to have dreams every night where I will be sleeping and wake up and I couldn't move my arms, my legs. I felt like there's an elephant on top of me. And I would see things in my room and I would try and scream and try and move, but I was unable to. Those was a reoccurring thing every single day as a young kid, and my parents would just chuck it up as nightmares. So I chucked it up, grew up older, chucked it up as nightmares. I never really had them again. But I always was intrigued with the supernatural, always was intrigued with the stories for a reason I can never explain. When I was in high school, a friend died in a car accident. That night when I got the news, I saw her in an alleyway in front of my house. And she was wearing the dress that she wore for her 15th, and this was the same dress that they buried her in. The main reason I called today was to tell you the main story that really... one of those that really sent me off to make me believe that I was a sensitive. So when I first got with my husband, he used to tell me stories about his grandma. She passed away several years before me and him got together. And we had our son, and in the middle of the night, he would wake up crying for no reason. And my husband used to say, maybe it's my grandma. Maybe it's my grandma just making him cry because she knows it would set me off. About a week later, I had a dream. In this dream, we were on a bed in a living room from a house that I did not recognize, and my husband was laying next to me. My son started crying, so I sat up and went to go reach for my son, and then all of a sudden I saw my husband's grandma go and reach and grab my son and start playing with him and making him giggle. I looked at her. She looked at me and smiled. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Nothing, just playing with my great-grandson." I was like, "Okay." And then she says, "You know those times where he's dead asleep and he wakes up crying, screaming, and you guys can't really soothe him?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "That's me. I make him mad in his sleep where he wakes up super mad because I know it makes Luke mad. I do it to antagonize Luke. Luke is my husband." And I look over at my husband in this dream and he starts crying. Now my husband never cries. And I look back at his grandma and she smiles and said, "Tell him I said hi." So I told my husband this dream and he is taken aback, not understanding. Then he tells me to go tell his mom, which I think, okay. So I go and I tell his mom the story and she asks me to explain the bed. The room, and I explained to her in detail what this room in this house looked like, and she started crying. She asked me, "Where did I see this house? What picture did I see this house?" I said, "Nowhere. This is the house that I dreamt that was in the dream." She said, "There is no possible physical way you can know about that house. That is a house that I grew up in as a kid. None of my kids, nobody knows about that house other than me and my mom." And after she said that, I thought to myself, well, how was it possible? How is it that I saw? I've never dreamt of his grandmother again. I've never seen her. But I always thought to myself, maybe I am sensitive, and because I just brushed away all of those things as a kid thinking they were just nightmares, and now I'm becoming more in tune. Thanks again for having this podcast, for having a way for many of us to have an outlet to make it known that we aren't crazy, that more people go through this every day, and it's not just us.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your story with us. Thoughts on that one?
Well, like I said earlier, if she was crazy, we all are crazy.
Sure.
But I definitely, you know, I was thinking about that the other day with kids, because there was some, I was watching something on TV with a kid having a imaginary friend. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's a ghost or something like that. And I'm like, you know, though growing up, that was super common. They would just say, "Oh, that's so-and-so. He has an imaginary friend." And it seemed like you knew people who had imaginary friends. It just seemed like not to be, it wasn't uncommon at all. Or, you know, "Oh, you just have nightmares. That's just the way it is." But, you know, as an adult looking back on that stuff, or were they just nightmares? Yeah. Or was it just an imaginary friend? You know, I got the feeling that there's a lot more of that going on and we just dismiss it because we don't understand it.
Sure.
And, you know, if you have never had an experience like that and your kid's saying that they're seeing a person in your house, well, last thing you want to do is think you have a person in your house that you can't see, that only your child can. You know, that's creepy. So it's just, oh, it's an imaginary friend. So I definitely think, you know, there's a lot of people who they lose touch with that. And in her case, she hasn't lost touch with that.
Yeah. I mean, for some, it's like a fading away. And for others, it's a growing stronger and accepting and realizing what gift you have. But I would venture to say there's a ton of people out there that saw their imaginary friend that didn't realize that everyone else didn't see their imaginary friend, because it's just something that's not talked about. You know, it's just like, it's, you kind of grow up and it gets dismissed and then you're like, oh, If you're sitting there and you remember seeing the friend, that's not an imaginary friend. That's a ghost. But if you remember playing imaginary friend and there's, you know full well there's nobody there, you're just pretending there's someone there, but you're not visibly seeing them. That's what a lot of us did. We didn't see the friend that was there. But I think many kids did. And that's that's the interesting thing.
And I even thought that story was interesting because it had that weird twist to it. Because if it's the grandmother who's visiting her grandson, normally you would think the grandma's in there rocking it to sleep and yeah, being grandmotherly. But that grandmother chose to wake up that baby crying.
Yeah.
To antagonize her grandson, which I thought was kind of strange.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know what the weird relationship between the her husband and his grandmother was, because mm-hmm, there must have been something off there.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, like that would be pretty crazy to have your daughter-in-law describe a house she's never been in that you have history in.
And there's no way to crazy explain that, you know? It's just
right?
Like, yeah. Good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, archive, commercial free. It's all there. patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Follow Carol Hughes at Carol Hughes on Instagram. Follow me at Tony Bruschi on Instagram and TikTok. Bruschi is B-R-U-E-S-K-I. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.